By faith, the walls of Jericho fell after the army had marched around them for 7 days. By faith, the prostitute Rahab, because she welcomed the spies, was not killed with those who were disobedient. And Joshua chapter 2. Then Joshua son of Nun secretly sent two spies from Shittim. Go, look over the land, he said, especially Jericho. So they went and entered the house of a prostitute named Rahab and stayed there. The king of Jericho was told, look, some of the Israelites have come here tonight to spy out the land. So the king of Jericho sent this message to Rahab. Bring out the men who came to you and enter your house, because they have come to spy out the whole land. But the woman said, had taken the two men and hidden them. She said, yes, the men came to me, but I did not know where they had come from. At dusk, when it was time to close the city gate, they left. I don't know which way they have gone. Go after them quickly. You might catch up with them. But she had taken them up to the roof and hidden them under the stalks of flax she had laid out on the roof. So the men set out in pursuit of the spies on the road that leads to the fords of the Jordan. And as soon as the pursuers had gone out, the gate was shut. Before the spies lay down for the night, she went up on the roof and said to them, I know that the Lord has given this land to you and that a great fear of you has fallen on us, so that all who lived in this country are melting in fear because of you. We have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did in Shihon and Og, the two kings of Amorites east of the Jordan, whom you had completely destroyed. When we heard of it, our hearts sank, and everyone's courage failed because of you. For the Lord your God is God in heaven above and on the earth below. Now then, please swear to me by the Lord that you will show kindness to my family, because I have shown kindness to you. Give me a sure sign that you will spare the lives of my father and mother, my brothers and sisters, and all who belong to them, and that you will save us from death. Our lives for your lives, the men assured her. If you don't tell what we are doing, we'll treat you kindly and faithfully when the Lord gives us the land. So she led them down by the rope through the window, for the house she lived in was part of the city wall. She said to them, go to the hill so that the pursuers will not find you. Hide yourself there for 3 days until they return, and then go on your way. Now the man had said to her, this oath you made us swear will not be binding on us unless when we enter the land, you have tied this scarlet cord in the window through which you led us down, and unless you have brought your father and mother, your brothers, and all your family into your house. If any of them go outside your house into the street, their blood will be on their own heads, will not be responsible. As for those who are in the house with you, their blood will be on our heads if a hand is laid on them. But if you tell what we're doing, we will be released from the oath you made us swear. Agreed, she replied. Let it be as you say. So she sent them away, and they departed, and she tied the scarlet cord in the window.
Thanks, Tan. We will all have read many news stories this last week, but one that we may have missed is the revelation that the Dead Sea Scrolls in the collection of the Museum of the Bible in Washington, D.C. have been found to be fakes. They were purchased for several million dollars a number of years ago, but they were recently found to have just been made from scraps of Roman leather and animal glue and are actually elaborate forgeries. In many ways, the Museum of the Bible is to be commended for its concern that its artifacts are actually real. Now, it's of course one thing to find out that your precious collection of Dead Sea Scrolls is not genuine, but a much more important question for us is to make sure that our faith is genuine and is not a counterfeit of the real thing. And that's where Rahab and her story is very helpful, because she was someone who had a real faith that worked its way out in practice. And you can see that from our key verse this morning, Hebrews 11 and verse 31. By faith, the prostitute Rahab, because she welcomed the spies, was not killed with those who were disobedient. in many ways. Rahab is the most surprising person in Hebrews 11 because she was a prostitute and a non-Israelite. But yet she is somebody that we can learn a lot from. If it was me writing the book of Hebrews, I think I might have been tempted to focus in on the faith of the spies. But yet God wants us to focus our attention on the active faith of Rahab. The current crisis that we're all experiencing throughout the world at the moment calls for an active faith. And so let's see what we can learn this morning from the example of Rahab. So first of all then, let's look at the evidence of faith. So our key verse is clear that Rahab's faith was evidenced by the fact that she welcomed the spies. Her faith showed itself in her actions. Remember that at this point, the people of God are now poised to take the promised land. Their commander, Joshua, sends out two spies. They enter into the city of Jericho, and the logical place for them to find lodging is at the house of Rahab the prostitute, whose home was in the city walls. A place, of course, where many people would have been used to strangers coming and going, and they wouldn't ask too many questions. They're probably trying to disguise their identity, of course, going in, but yet their plan obviously doesn't work and somebody sees them. The message quickly gets back to the king and he sends some of his guards around to Rahab's house. And so at this point, the story is really on knife edge. It's the kind of thing that we constantly watch in movies or on Netflix series. What will Rahab do? Will she turn the spies over to the king's guards or will they remain safe and be rescued? And so the story really does hang on a knife edge. The expectation is that Rahab will remain loyal to the king of Jericho and to hand them over. That's what we would expect. And if that had happened, then we'd have never ever heard of Rahab or the spies ever again. But yet there is a massive surprise, and it's a surprise really that changes both the fate of Rahab and that of the spies. And it's all down to Rahab's faith. And so according to the story, as it's recorded for us in Joshua chapter 2, we see Rahab's faith evidenced in two ways. And the first way is in Rahab's actions. As we've already seen, she welcomed the spies and took them into her home. But what did that involve? And this is really the most surprising part of the story, because not only does she welcome them into her home, but she then lies to the king's guards and she sends them off in the opposite direction. So let's pick up the action in Joshua 2 and verse 3 to 6. So the king of Jericho sent this message to Rahab. Bring out the men who came to you and entered your house, because they have come to spy out the whole land. But the woman had taken the two men and hidden them. She said, yes, the men came to me, but I did not know where they had come from. At dusk, when it was time to close the city gate, they left. I don't know which way they went. Go after them quickly. You may catch up with them. But she had taken them up to the roof and had hidden them under the stalks of flax she had laid out on the roof. Now you probably noticed there that Rahab did not just tell one lie, but three. First of all, she said, I don't know where they've come from, when she did. Then she said, they've left, when they hadn't. And then finally she said, I don't know which way they went, and even added, and if you're really fast, then you could even catch them. And so this was really three lies in one. Now, of course, there's been a lot of ink over the years spilt on the whole question of was Rahab right to lie or not? And that's maybe something that you can talk about in your groups later on and see if you can come to your own view. Some Christians have said that Rahab was wrong and she ought not to have lied. Other Christians have said that to lie on an occasion like this is the lesser of two evils. However, most of us can probably agree this morning that Rahab's motivation was right. So even if it's wrong to lie, it is obvious that she was motivated by her faith in God and she was trying to do the right thing. And that's why her faith is commended, and that's why she's included here in Hebrews chapter 11. We also need to remember that God's word, the Bible, always condemns lying. God is a God of truth. Truth is something that is more important than many in our culture realize. In our world, where there's so much lying, where there's so much deception, where there's so much fake news, it's more important than ever that we, as God's people, are a people of truth. We also need to remember that Rahab was a brand new believer. She was not someone who had been brought up to know anything about God and his ways. Lying was probably just something as a prostitute that had been always part of her life. and so we would expect her newfound faith in God to be mixed. That's not to say that her lie was right, but it is to say that we can understand where she was coming from and be gracious towards her. What is clear is that she's a person of faith. She welcomed the spies, she changed sides, she was no longer loyal to the king of Jericho, but rather to God. Her faith is evidenced by the fact that she hid the spies. Then another evidence of her faith was the red cord that she hung from the window to guarantee that she would be saved. Later on in Joshua 2, Rahab pleads with the spies to save her. The spies agree, and they promise that if she ties a scarlet cord in her window when the Israelites come, that she and her whole household will be spared. Now, again, there's a lot that we could say, but the important thing is that this cord was evidence of her faith. For the first readers of the book of Joshua, they would have immediately thought of the Passover that we looked at last week. At the Passover, the people were saved from God's judgment by the red blood of the lambs that you'll remember they painted on their doorposts. Now, as they enter into the promised land, Rahab is saved by a red cord in her window, which would lead to her being passed over when God's judgment came. The red cord was evidence that she had come to believe in the one true God and that she was trusting in him. I came across a story this week of a man from Nepal who had recently become a Christian. And after becoming a Christian, one of the very first things that he did was get rid of all the idols in his house. And that for him was an evidence that he had become a Christian. Like Rahab, he had come to trust in the one true God. That was evidence of his faith. And so there are many lessons from all this for us this morning. One of them is that we must always be very patient with those who are new Christians. Especially in our culture, very often the faith of those who are coming to Christ, particularly maybe over a long period of time, may be mixed. We are right to expect obedience to Christ, but we also recognize that many people aren't going to be able to sort out their whole lives instantly. Many of us may have all sorts of baggage that it might take a long time to work through after we become a Christian. Like Rahab, there may be a while when our faith will be mixed. One really good example of this from church history is John Newton, who wrote the hymn Amazing Grace. He was someone who had become a Christian, but yet he actually continued as a slave trader for almost a whole year afterwards without really any sense that what he was doing was wrong. And that may be true for some of us too. Our faith in those early years of being a Christian may be mixed. For those of us who have recently come to faith, of course, it's vitally important that our faith will show itself through our actions. And sometimes the greatest acts of faith may actually be required at the beginning of our Christian lives, as they probably were for Rahab. For those of us who are older Christians, though, we need to be patient with the faith of those who are younger and trust that God's Holy Spirit is at work, especially when people's lives seem a little bit messy. And let's face it, that includes all of us at times. One author said we should be slow to judge sin and quick to perceive faith. Slow to judge sin and quick to perceive faith. And so we've seen the evidence of Rahab's faith. But then where did this great faith come from? And this leads us on to look more briefly at the growth of faith. So Hebrews 11 doesn't tell us where Rahab's faith came from, but Joshua chapter 2 does. And so let's pick up the story in Joshua chapter 2 and verse 8 to 11 from God's word. Before the spies lay down for the night, she went up on the roof and said to them, I know that the Lord has given you this land and that a great fear of you has fallen on us, so that all who live in this country are melting in fear because of you. We have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did to Sihon and Og, the two kings of the Amorites east of the Jordan, whom you completely destroyed. When we heard of it, our hearts melted in fear, and everyone's courage failed because of you. For the Lord your God is God in heaven above and on the earth below. So here we see two elements of Rahab's faith, which are always true of genuine faith in God. And the first of them is hearing. Romans chapter 10 verse 17 reminds us that faith comes by hearing. And Rahab's faith grew as she heard more about who God was and what he had done. as a prostitute. She probably heard all the gossip from the surrounding area, and so it would have been no secret to her that the Israelite army was on its way. Rahab had heard about Israel's God. She'd heard about how he had dried up the Red Sea. She'd heard about his mighty acts. She'd heard about how he had rescued his people from Egypt. She'd heard about how he had defeated these two kings east of the River Jordan, about how he had now given his people this land, the promised land of Canaan. This reminds us that our faith too grows, even in difficult times, through hearing about God, his great power, and his mighty acts. But then we also see not just a hearing, but also declaration. Rahab makes a personal declaration of faith in this God that she has heard so much about. It's easy to miss, but we can see it there at the end of verse 11, where Rahab says to the spies, "For the Lord your God is God in heaven above and on the earth below." That was really Rahab's confession of faith. For us, we confess and declare that Jesus is our Saviour and Lord. For Rahab, she confesses that the Lord, he is the one who is God in heaven above and on earth. And the amazing thing about all of this is really what an unlikely candidate for faith in God Rahab was. Her profession as a prostitute would have placed her morally outside where many people would have naturally looked for faith. And then she had none of the advantages that we often expect people of faith to have. She had no Bible, no word of God that she could read. She had no friends who were believers, as far as we know. She had no one who could teach her about God. And she was really going against the grain of the whole culture in which she lived. So far as we know, she was the only one in Jericho who was willing to stick her neck out and believe. And so her faith is really incredible. And that's what leads to her being included in Hebrews chapter 11. I think personally, this certainly helps me to reflect on the many advantages that we have. Even at this time when we can't meet physically, we still have God's word, the Bible, in our own language that we can read, and we can still link up with Christians throughout the whole world through technology. And then I also think that the fact that Rahab is included in this list is meant to be a great encouragement for us. I think it's meant to say that anyone can have faith in God. If it was only people like Noah or Enoch or Abraham or Moses who are included in this list in Hebrews 11, then we might think that faith was only for great people, or it was only for religious people, or it was only for those with the right pedigree. Whereas the inclusion of Rahab shows us that faith is for all, no matter how unlikely or how unexpected. There may be somebody listening to me this morning, and if you're honest, your life is a real mess. Your sexual history is equally as checkered as Rahab's. You were raised with no Christian influences. You never had any Christian friends, or maybe the Christian friends that you had were actually poor witnesses. No one ever taught you the gospel or God's word. Well, God's grace is still strong enough to reach down and to rescue you. I think there's also a lesson here for those of us who are Christians about limiting the kinds of people that we think will respond. We all naturally do this, I think. We all have a certain kind of person in our heads who we think will become a Christian and those who won't. But yet Rahab shows us that God is often at work in unexpected places and in unexpected ways. At this time of global pandemic, I pray that many of us have the opportunity to share Christ with those around us who may be anxious or afraid. But I wonder, what kind of person in your head do you naturally assume will respond? This is what one writer, Peter Lewis, has to say in his book on Hebrews 11. "It may seem like you are confronted on all sides by unbelief, by materialism, even by ruthlessness and contempt. Yet there may be a Rahab amid it all, listening to your witness, looking at your life, and wondering if your God could become theirs." So this is really a great encouragement for us. God specializes in unlikely people in unlikely places. People like Rahab. Who knows how God could be using you for his glory to reach people like her at the moment. One of the interesting things here in verse 9 is that it was Rahab's fear that led to her coming to trust in God. Many people have said about the current crisis that there are actually two plagues. There's the plague of the coronavirus, and then there's a plague of fear, that goes along with it. And so let's pray that we might be a witness to people in the midst of their fears, and that they may come to find hope and life in the true and living God. So we also see the growth of Rahab's faith, but then lastly, we see faith's reward. One of the interesting things about Rahab's story is that it's obvious that everyone in Jericho had heard about God, but yet Rahab was the only one who had responded. Our key verse, Hebrews 11, verse 31, tells us that Rahab was not killed along with those who were disobedient, which must mean that everyone else had heard enough to be obedient, but yet they weren't obedient, they refused to obey, and it was only Rahab who did. Again, Joshua 2, verse 9, makes clear that everyone in the region had heard what God had done, and they were afraid, but yet it was only Rahab who came to believe. We can imagine her probably waiting day after day in her house as the armies of Israel marched around the walls of Jericho. And we can imagine her checking her red cord and making sure that it was okay, knowing that it was her only hope of salvation. Maybe she had to reassure her family huddled with her that everything was going according to plan. And then the last day came. She heard a great shout and the walls came tumbling down. A few minutes later, there was a loud knock at her door. The spies call out, "Rahab, Rahab, are you in there? Are you okay?" Then she opens the door. They give her a hug and escort her to safety. And so Rahab was saved physically, as Joshua chapter 6 and verse 25 makes clear. But Joshua spared Rahab the prostitute with her family and all who belonged to her, because she hid the men Joshua had sent as spies to Jericho, and she lives among the Israelites to this day. But then this verse also makes clear that she was saved spiritually. That's what that verse means when it says that she lives among the Israelites to this day. That means that she was incorporated into Israel and she became part of the Old Testament covenant people of God. And we might have expected the story of Rahab to end there. And if it had, then that would have been a great story, and she would have been included in Hebrews 11 as a great woman and a great example of faith. But there is a postscript, and the postscript is that in Matthew chapter 1 verse 5 in the New Testament, it tells us that Rahab got married. She became the mother of Boaz, who later on became the husband of Ruth. Boaz was the father of Obed. Obed was the father of Jesse. And Jesse was the father of King David. By God's grace, Rahab became part of the royal line of Israel all the way down to Jesus Christ. God honored the faith of Rahab, and he rewarded her by including her in the line of his son. And if we find that surprising at all, that someone immoral or that a prostitute like Rahab should be included in the line of Christ, we need to remember that spiritually we are all like Rahab. We're all naturally sinners who are estranged from God and stand rightly under his judgment. We are all spiritual prostitutes who have lusted after other gods. The only way that any of us can be included in the family of Christ is by faith in him. He graciously includes us as his brothers and sisters when we repent of our sins and we trust in his death on the cross for us. And of course, we know so much more than Rahab did. Rahab knew only of impending doom and judgment on Jericho, and so she called out to be saved. For us, we know so much more about the grace and the love and the mercy of God. As it says in those well-known words in John 3, verse 16, that God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. And so let's learn this morning from the faith of Rahab. Rahab had a genuine faith that was evidenced by her actions and was rewarded by God. For those of us who are not yet followers of Jesus Christ this morning, this means coming to know him as our personal Lord and Saviour. If that's you, then this means that no matter how unlikely a convert you think you are, and no matter how stumbling your faith, that God knows those things and God is patient with us. Yet, God also expects action. God expects that we will renounce the world and that we will come to place our trust in him completely for salvation, as Rahab did. Often one of the things that can hold us back from faith in Christ is we worry about what everyone else might think. In Rahab's case, she was the only one, yet she boldly and courageously placed her faith in God and she was saved. And then God is also looking for action from those of us who are Christians already. When the Apostle James came to write about faith and works in James chapter 2, he used Rahab as one of the two examples that he gave of an active faith, of a faith and works. So what does it mean if we're Christians to be living out our faith at the moment? What does this mean for you in this coming week? Well, I think it certainly means continuing to trust in God and not giving in to fear and uncertainty. It means, I think, doing what we can to care for others practically in our church family at a time when we can't meet physically, whether that's sending messages by WhatsApp or maybe praying for those who might be in need. Perhaps some of us can even give financially to alleviate the hardship of others, those who can't earn at the moment, or those who need a little bit of extra help to tide them over. And of course, you'll have many other ideas as well as to what it means for us as Christians in Hong Kong or around the world at the moment to have an active faith and to be living our lives for God's glory right now. Rahab, her faith was proved genuine by her actions, and let's pray that ours will be too. So let's pray now as we close. Father in heaven, we want to give thanks for the example of Rahab. We give thanks that although she was an unlikely convert, that she heard about you and confessed her faith in you. And we give thanks that she boldly lived her faith out by welcoming the spies and so was saved. We ask that we might be like her, having a faith that saves and a faith that is evidenced by our actions. And we ask all of these things now in Jesus' name. Amen.